The standoff between the General Assembly and the governor still continues. Reconvening session has adjourned on last Wednesday, and now it's time for a special session. But what took place? What laws went into effect? And what's going to happen to the budget? It's Stay the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. You're joining us for the 2024 General Assembly Review after reconvene. We'll be right back in just a moment. Welcome back. It's Stay the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. Thank you so much for joining us once again, as you do every Sunday at 10 a.m. as we broadcast from the campus of the Norfolk State University, home of the Spartan Nation, from none other than WNSB Hot 91, the soul of VA. We're hoping you're enjoying yourself out there as spring starts to get it underway. I know the weather is a little funny, but we're going to definitely get there. As always, I'd like to thank you for your support for what we do as an initiative of the Center for African American Public Policy here at Norfolk State University. As we, every Sunday, we try to bring movers and shakers and policymakers to you to discuss issues important to the community. Now, if you've been joining us ever since January, you know that we've been going through and bringing to you what's happening in the General Assembly. As a matter of fact, we've had, of course, you know, our historic General Assembly session for 2024 before Sani died, with new leadership, record African-American leadership, not only in the Virginia Legislative Black Caucus, but also in leadership itself. You also know we've had a record budget initiative as well here in the state, and record number of bills that were passed, and also a record number of bills that were vetoed. So with that, we know that the General Assembly went in on last week for what's called reconvene session, and that's the veto session. That's where the governor released his budget amendments and also bills that he amended and sent back to the legislature or veto for them to actually review and make a determination on what to do. Well, the results are in. They sent their amendments back to the governor, and guess what? We're going to do it all over again. So, again, the standoff between the governor and the General Assembly, it continues as it relates to the budget. But there are some bills that went into effect. Now, before we get to those bills, I'd like to just highlight a few things as it relates to the guests that we've had on the show that have talked about things happening in the General Assembly. Of course, we've had our NSU alums. And you know that Norfolk State, we have one of the highest numbers of alums representing us in the General Assembly. That speaks to the value of the Spartan Nation. That speaks to the value of the Norfolk State University. And that speaks to the value of those students that are coming in. You know that you've got a legacy that's standing tall and fighting for you. With that, we've had none other than my good friend and NSU alum, Delegate Cliff Hayes Jr., who is also the chair of the Hampton Roads Caucus. Now, he's talked a lot about what NSU means to him, but also the support that he's given the institution. Not only that, but we've also had our Hampton Roads delegation, Senator Angela Williams Graves, Senator Aaron Rouse. We've also had just last week, Delegate Benita Anthony, who represents Norfolk State in her district. As a matter of fact, she talks about how she represents quite a few of higher education institutions here in Hampton Roads, including her alma mater and the community colleges in the area. So again, a phenomenal, phenomenal delegation who's fighting for us that know exactly what we need. Not only that, but we also had just last week, Darius Clark. The Nadarius Clark delegate who represents areas of Portsmouth and Chesapeake and other areas. So as you can see, we've had a tremendous amount of individuals who are in the delegation, in the Senate, in the House of Delegates that are fighting for us and our issues. And we also had none other than the Senator Louise Lucas, President Pro Tem and Chair of the Senate and Finance Committee, who is a champion, absolute champion for Norfolk State. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a tough fighter, look no further than Senator Louise Lucas. So let's get into a few of the bills. Now, you know, I always talk about the devil's in the details, and it's all about policy. Now, when we talk about policy, of course, we know laws are passed, whether they be statutes or case law, which basically gives a decision for resolution for that particular issue. It also gives guidance for other issues as well as it relates to case law. As it relates to statutes, we know that that's a law that governs and a certain issue in society. And politics is the way that we get to policy. But what is policy? Policy tells us how we govern ourselves with that law itself. Now, it may be policies within an agency, policy within your school, policy within your job. But whatever the case may be, that policy derives from the law. So it becomes our public policy. So when we take a look at public policy, I want us to take a look at several bills that basically have become law and those that are going to continue to be debated during the special session that will be called by the governor. So first, we'll take a look at the NIL bill, or HB House Bill 1505. This is where, according to Virginia Public Access Project, VA News, Governor Youngkin signed a bill that gives Virginia colleges unprecedented authority to manage NIL deals for athletes. Now, for those that wonder what NIL is, NIL simply means name, image, likeness. And it was derived from a Supreme Court case in which it was decided that, as a matter of fact, it was the O'Bannon case. If you know, from UCLA, they won a championship, and for years they fought in order to be able to benefit from their name, from their image, or their likeness being utilized in anything in which they're promoting. So from that, individuals or athletes are able to get various deals because of who they, what they play for and who they are. So we know now, if you look at what's happening throughout sports, you've got some players in college that are making more money in NIL deals or endorsements based upon their name, image, and likeness than they ever would have made playing in the professional league. No bigger example of that is the WNBA. Now, we know that we just had a historic WNBA. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not a WNBA, but NCAA women's basketball season where we've had really transcendent talent, you know, generational talent display. Now, we've always had great talent in women's sports, but now they're getting the spotlight. And we see that they capture the excitement and the energy of the public, the greater public. So you have everyone from Angel Reese to Caitlin Clark and several others that have really captured the imagination and the excitement of the public. But it showed that they're going to be making really about the same salary as an assistant professor here at this university, about $77,000, $76,000 first year, and just a little bit more, maybe $4,000 more throughout their rookie contract into their fourth year. Think about that. These individuals are making $77,000 a year. Now, here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, they'll be able to live right above the poverty standard and be able to manage, you know, their life, especially in Northern Virginia. But in NIL deals, they're making an endorsements. Some people over $3 and $5 million a year in college. So what can you imagine what ends up happening when you have athletes like this that are making this type of money? But just not them, but also football and basketball. You know, there are a lot of individual athletes making lots of money. But what now happens is that Governor Youngkin, and with the work of the General Assembly as well, various members, they've actually moved and provided an opportunity for Virginia universities to move ahead in order to make us competitive amongst other athletes and other universities. As a matter of fact, according to VA News, where they pulled this report, this story from the Virginia Pilot, it says, as Governor Youngkin prepared to sign an unprecedented name, image, likeness bill Thursday in Richmond, he stated that, I want to be very clear, that had these NIL rules been in place, he wouldn't have received an NIL deal. But with this, Governor Youngkin signed into law a bill that grants Virginia colleges unprecedented freedom to administer name, image, likeness benefits to its athletes. Now, what does this mean more specifically for Norfolk State? Now, according to a Norfolk State Athletic Department, it says that among those that joined the governor was our athletic director, Melanie Webb, and also head football coach, Dawson Odoms, and also our associate AD for external relations and NIL, Dr. Paula Jackson. And AD Webb says she was thrilled about the groundbreaking progressive NIL legislation signed by Governor Youngkin that morning. She stated that this legislation not only protects in-state schools and their student athletes, but also paves the way for positive change in collegiate athletics. As a matter of fact, she pointed out that as a former student athlete and coach, she understands firsthand the importance of providing student athletes with the support and resources they need to succeed both on and off the field. She said that this bill represents a progressive step forward in recognizing the value that student athletes bring not only to college athletics, but also to our universities as a whole, and ensures that they have the opportunity to benefit from their hard work and dedication with less encumbrances. As a matter of fact, according to Norfolk State Athletic Department, they stated that we've unveiled and launched the NSU Spartans NIL Exchange just last month. And this furthers the school's partnership with a group to provide a convenient and productive starting point in NIL deals between student athletes and also registered businesses. Now, they also pointed out that there are a few student athletes at Norfolk State who have already begun to find success in the world of NIL. One by the name of Keyshawn Lynch. Keyshawn Lynch is an all-MEAC defensive lineman, in which he also spoke at the 2024 NCAA convention on the topic, where he detailed the strategies he's employed to land several deals with local businesses. Now, this law, what it does, it goes into effect July 1st, and it allows Virginia schools to support, create, and facilitate NIL deals for student athletes. Now, the bill was sponsored by Delegate Terry Austin, which was first presented to the House on January 19, 2024, and also Shepherd, and supported in the Senate by none other than Senator Aaron Rouse, who's a former NFL and retired player who played for Virginia Tech also. Now, we were fortunate enough in order to attend the signing, the ceremonial signing of this bill with the governor. As a matter of fact, myself, along with Athletic Director Webb, also Head Coach Odoms, Associate AD Dr. Jackson, and also other coaches and members of the staff, attended the ceremonial signing in the governor's conference room in Richmond, along with Delegate Austin, Senator Rouse, several other delegates and General Assembly members, Attorney General Miaras, and also Secretary of Education Gudera. It was a phenomenal signing. It was a great opportunity to really see all the universities come together, D1 universities. As a matter of fact, there we had Virginia Tech, UVA, ODU, VCU, James Madison, and right up front was also Norfolk State University. Know that when we talk about being at the forefront of things changing, being at the forefront of movers and shakers, Norfolk State is there in the center, geared and really positioned to make a major difference in the Commonwealth of Virginia, but also, more importantly, in the lives of its students so that they could be the change agents in the world. It's Stay the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. You're joining us for our 2024 General Assembly Review after reconvene. Just last week, the legislature adjourned their reconvene session where they considered the governor's amendments and vetoes and sent them back to the governor in order to hold a special session. Out of this, we know that a special session will come for the budget, and we'll talk about the budget later. But with that, we have also a lot of bills that were signed into law by the governor, and some accepted that some vetoes and amendments that the General Assembly dealt with in order to ensure that these laws go into effect July 1st for the members and the citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Let's take a look at another key legislation in which the General Assembly and the governor dealt with during this session. Now, according to VA News from Newsleader, the General Assembly sent four reproductive health care bills back to the governor. As a matter of fact, these four reproductive health care bills were sent back to the governor's desk for a signature or veto following Wednesday's General Assembly reconvened session, when lawmakers met to consider the governor's action on legislation passed during the 2024 session. Now, the legislative body, the General Assembly, sent these four bills that the governor had amended back to his desk in their original form after rejecting the amendments for his veto or signature. Now, of course, as it relates to any bills that are sent back, the governor has 30 days to act, whether he's going to veto it or not, or whether if he doesn't act, then it becomes law. Now, what are these four bills that were sent back? According to Newsleader, Democratic lawmakers, they attempted to override the governor's veto of a measure that basically would prohibit the extradition of a physician or woman that performs or obtains abortion health care in Virginia, where the procedure is legal, to another state. And a two-thirds vote had to be achieved in both chambers to override the governor's veto. But unfortunately, for the Democrats, it failed. So the advocates for this, once again, one of our alums, Delegate Candy Munden King, Democrat out of Prince Williams, blasted the governor's veto of reproductive health bills on the floor during the House session. As a matter of fact, Delegate King is quoted as, "Someone said earlier that the governor has the right to his own opinions. Well, Mr. Speaker, his opinions are killing us," according to Delegate Munden King. Now, regarding this, Delegate Marcus Simon, Democrat out of Fairfax, warned that the governor's action could help jail doctors and women who perform or obtain an abortion in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And Planned Parenthood Advocates of Virginia said in a statement that these bills represent a vital safeguard against overreach of hostile states into our Commonwealth, ensuring that those who provide abortion care can continue their work without fear of unwarranted penalties from out-of-state actors. So these bills were then sent back to the governor. They were amended and sent back, where now he has an opportunity to 30 days to sign or veto those bills. And for reference, these bills are Senate Bill 238 and House 189 and Senate Bill 237 and House Bill 609. Now, of course, you had staunch advocates for amended bills that the governor sent back. And we all know that this particular issue is a major issue, not just here in the Commonwealth, but also across the country. Now, of course, with the Supreme Court last session basically overruling Roe versus Wade and leaving it up to the states, we see now what's happening state by state as it relates to this issue. So, you know, we're going to continue to monitor this because, of course, it's not going to end just with this particular session. We'll see it move forward. Now, you've heard the talk about skills games, you know, and for the most part, a lot of people didn't know what skill games were until this legislative session. So what actually happened during this time period? Well, according to VA News and the Richmond Times-Dispatch, Governor Youngkin still has concerns about legislation to legalize skills games, which is the slot machine-like devices that hundreds of convenience stores say keep them in business. But says he thinks an answer could come when the General Assembly meets next month to consider the new state budget. Now, if you know, skill games themselves, as I said, they're slot-like machines. They're not quote-unquote gambling machines as it relates to the law, but they're skills. But you're still betting, right? So for the most part, they want these to be legalized. But now the governor, you know, there's a back and forth with this. You know, should convenience stores have these? And does it really keep their doors open, or is it something that the legalized casinos really want to push back on? And how would they prevail when this goes back into the special session? Now, according to the Richmond Times, it says the governor's big concern is to make sure that skill games are not set up too close to schools or churches. And he also thinks the bill aligns with the state's casino gaming law, again, which bars additional historical horse racing game devices within 35 miles of a casino host city. Now, as I stated before, you know, this is big money because it's not just big money for convenience stores, but it's also big money for casinos and legalized gambling. The more money that's taken away from legalized casinos, the less money that they have available coming to them. So again, this is what politics is all about. It's about factions on both ends of the spectrum trying to advocate for their side and see who actually is going to be able to prevail. So it looks like the governor, he's kicking it back to the legislature. So we're going to see what happens with this. And let me just talk a little bit about that, right? A lot of times we'll see the General Assembly stand and pass, you know, fully, and the governor sign it, or he'll or the governor will veto it. Well, these are individuals taking sides. You're making a claim, staking your claim in the sand. And sometimes you waver back and forth. Well, we'll let the governor deal with it. We'll let the General Assembly deal with it. Or we'll let the courts deal with it, whatever the case may be. That's when you see that there are very conflicting issues, but very close to home. So, again, this is a big issue. I mean, it's a minor thing, skills gains. But it's a big issue as it relates to revenue, as it relates to safety, to schools and churches, as it relates to the issue of gambling, legalized gambling. You know, it's a big issue. So we'll see what ends up happening. We're going to continue to follow that because it's going to be very important. Also, something that's extremely important, especially not just here in the Commonwealth, but across the country, but it's gun safety. Now, the legislature approved one gun safety amendment, but they sent six bills back to the governor. Now, we all know, we all watch the news and we hear various reports about senseless gun violence, whether it be mass shootings at schools or individuals having a disagreement and stray bullets injure individuals. We know that gun safety is very important, and we know that gun violence is a major issue and epidemic here in Hampton Roads. I mean, who can forget the mass shooting that took place in Virginia Beach or at Walmart? You know, these were tragedies. And we believe that many legislators and citizens believe that with additional measures for gun safety, individuals can be safe and more than likely protect innocent lives. And these individuals, these incidents probably wouldn't happen if they were there. Now, of course, no one has a crystal ball and can predict what could and could not happen. But we do know one thing. Safety measures add a layer of certainty or safety of things that could happen. That's why we wear our seatbelts, right? You wear your seatbelt in your car, not because you want to have an accident, but just in case you do. It's a layer of safety or assurance that you will not be injured as much as if you did not have a safety belt on. So many legislators saw this as a safety net to individuals and citizens and individuals that want to perpetrate violence, senseless violence with guns. As a matter of fact, Delegate Nadarius Clark of a town hall, post-session town hall that I was fortunate enough to moderate, that was hosted by Delegate Cliff Hayes and Senator Louise Lucas and also Delegate Benita Anthony and Delegate Nadarius Clark, in Chesapeake, he talked about these gun safety measures. He was a major champion for these measures. And he mentioned that, again, safety is a good thing. Safety is a good thing. And this came on the back of, and we talked about this in the last show, the federal government, the Biden administration, passing policy to close the gun show loophole to where now you had to get a background check. You know, again, we're not stopping persons from exercising their constitutional right. Second Amendment is very important. It's very important to individual citizens, to our country, for safety. But we just want individuals to be safe that don't, and individuals that shouldn't have guns, they should not receive them. But according to a news leader, one of Governor Youngkin's amendments, it was approved, six sent back for his signature or veto. And attempts to override the governor's veto on 22 gun safety related bills actually failed during this past Wednesday's reconvened session. Now, the General Assembly accepted the governor's amendment to Senate Bill 363, and that's a bill that would prohibit the purchase, selling, or possession of a firearm with a removed, altered, or defaced serial number. Okay? So, once again, now this bill will now be enacted into law. So, once again, the legislature, the governor accepted the amendment. The General Assembly accepted the governor's amendment to Senate Bill 363. Now, it prohibits, again, the purchase, sale, or possession. So you can't buy it, you can't sell it, and you can't have it of a firearm with a removed or altered or defaced serial number. Now, this is key in a lot of areas, because now what happens is that now individuals cannot have these weapons, and it really helps to keep our streets safe, because why else would you take off a serial number? A serial number because you don't want to have yourself traced or those guns traced. Now, want to govern with this, we do find where these other six bills that went back, it shows that where now the issue becomes, Governor, will you sign these additional bills to keep individuals safe? As a matter of fact, Chantel Rock, a volunteer with the Virginia chapter of Moms Demand Action, made in her statement, she said, now that our lawmakers have sent these bills back to the governor in their original state, he has another opportunity to build on the progress from earlier this session and sign the bills into law. As a matter of fact, she stated that our lawmakers passed these strong gun violence prevention measures because they knew that they were needed to protect our communities. Also, Sophia Posadas, which is a volunteer at the University of Virginia Students Demand Action Chapter of the same organization, said Governor Youngkin must take this opportunity to build on the bipartisan progress we've already made this session, saying that these laws will save lives and believing that Virginians actually need it. Now, with this, once again, Adarius Clark, as I mentioned, talked about this. He vigorously and passionately in the town hall stated that, you know, basically these bills were meant to protect youths in homes with firearms, and it was crafted in an effort to keep safe the most vulnerable members of our communities. And that was the bill, he was the patron of one of the veto bills, House Bill 351. Now, for reference, the amended bills, that were sent back to the governor, HB 173 and Senate Bill 100. Now, this particular bill, it would actually regulate untraceable ghost guns, which are what we call do-it-yourself homemade guns assembled using unfinished core parts and kits without serial numbers that can be acquired without a background check. And the governor's amendment requested an unrelated substitute be included for this particular bill. So with that being the case, we also know that House Bill 498 and Senate Bill 225 was sent back, which would require school boards to annually notify parents of their legal responsibility to safely store their firearms. And also HBO 861 and Senate Bill 515, which would prohibit firearms in any facility that provides mental health or development services, including hospitals and ERs. One thing we do know is that the process is key in ensuring that laws are passed that will help our Commonwealth move forward, protect it, and be the best state in the union. And we've got great General Assembly members, great delegates, great senators, and you being great community advocates that we know will ensure that these bills become law. Thank you again for joining us for this edition of State of the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. Continue to follow us and continue to engage as we continue to look at the 2024 General Assembly review laws that are passed. Join us next week. Until that time, be good, be blessed, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Kerry Washington, and you're listening to State of the Water with award-winning host, Dr. Eric LaVille.